Good evening, everybody. Thanks very much for coming tonight. I've got a few slides which I'm going to use this evening just to start before I go into the subject matter. I've only knocked those up quite quickly, so there might be some spelling or grammatical mistakes, so if there are, I apologise in advance. We've got quite a few passages I want to turn up tonight, which is why I've put a lot of them on the screen. If you've got your Bible, it's great if you can turn them up, but for speed we might be jumping through. I've also put a couple of different translations of the passages, so some are from the NIV and some are from the King James, just to try and make it a little bit easier, so I've got a few of them on the screen as well. But I'd imagine that all of us would admit in the last 30-odd years, we've seen a huge change in the way technology has influenced our day-to-day lives. From about, I guess, the early 1980s, when I was growing up, computers started arriving in our homes, didn't they? And most people my age probably embraced that because it was things that you'd only ever seen in the films or the movies. Your parents didn't know anything about it, so that was brilliant because they thought you were working hard and really you were playing a game or something. And it gave us a little bit of power and knowledge over them, and so it seemed very appealing at the time. It was all very new. And over those 30 years, that technology has continued to advance and change until we now have phones or devices that I guess you've all got in your pockets, which can guide us to our destination by using some sat-nav. They can understand our voices when we're searching for information. They've got access onto the internet so we can find virtually anything that we want. They've got apps on to help us. Well, some apps are useful, some apps are probably less so, but we can take photos, high-definition video, and it's all contained within a few centimetres within our pocket. And I went on as I grew up to work in IT and continue to do so. And I now use a lot of the technologies we're going to talk about tonight in terms of communication around selling and marketing the products that my company or the company I work for sell on a daily basis. So I'm not here tonight to say that technology is bad or far from it. I think technology is going to be extremely useful and can be very useful in the way that we work for the Lord, when we're preaching, when we communicate one with another. And so that don't automatically assume just because it's new or technology is bad. It's something that should be used. And as with many things, it's not the technology sometimes. It's us as individuals and the way we use them that can cause problems. And the area I really want to talk about and concentrate on this evening is not technology in general, but it's the way that technology has changed the way we can communicate. We've seen even in probably the last 6 or 7 years, software and platforms that allow us to communicate in very different ways to how we were able to do so before. We have the ability now to express how we feel at the press of a button, share pictures, video, information about ourselves whenever we want, to anybody who either is prepared to listen or we've put in our little social circle. And I've dropped a few of probably the most common platforms. I'm sure a lot of the people in the room will recognise some of those logos behind. And they've appeared in a very short space of time and continue to do so on almost a daily basis. We've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, there's Google on there for the Google Plus stuff where we've got all our social circles, Foursquare for checking in certain areas. And we see all these different platforms of social media that have really exploded and I think especially for a younger generation, given them a new way to stay in touch and communicate. Now you might think with these technologies appearing so rapidly over the last few years that have changed the way we communicate, that a book as old as the Bible that was written thousands of years ago would not be relevant to guide us on how we should use them. Well, if you think that way and you think, well, I can't really say how these two are going to join up, I hope over the next 30, 40 minutes I can convince you otherwise. Because what you'll see, God willing, is that the Bible gives us lots of information on how we should communicate with one another. And it details the different scenarios where communication needs to be done in a particular way. And these instructions the Bible gives us are, I would suggest, even more important when we look at the new forms of communication, these modern ways of communicating we have, because the downside, as well as the upside of them, is their instant nature. And once something is sent, or once something is posted online, then that message has been delivered. Whether you decide to recall it or delete it 10 minutes later, someone potentially would have seen it, read it, and taken it to heart, or made a judgment about you. But let's start by reminding ourselves what the Bible tells us about communicating in general. And if you don't use any of these technologies, by the way, the message that we're going to have tonight is just as relevant because it deals with the main communication tool we have, which is our mouths as well. And it's just as appropriate whichever way we choose to communicate. And what we have on the slide is a passage from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to turn up because I haven't got eyes in the back of my head, so I'll turn these up. But if you can't keep up, then that's fine. We'll read from the screen. Malachi 3 and verse 16, and we read there, "Then they that feared the Lord," which I suggest are people like you and I have come to read the Bible, "spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." So we can see in that first verse we read there, verse 16, that we are told those people that fear God should regularly communicate one to another around the things of God. And by doing so, it pleases God. "They shall be mine," it says in the book of Malachi. So it's a good thing that we as a community or with our friends, we communicate on a regular basis. So these new technologies that allow us to communicate very quickly or freely or easily or over wide areas where it was impossible beforehand, such as, you know, email, or if we use Skype, instant messaging, whatever we choose, being part of a scripture group on Facebook and sharing information that way, or any of these platforms that allow us to meet up and to work for the Lord or to share that message, to preach, is a good thing. I think Lyme was the first meeting I ever went to that had a phone, you got it down today, and you were using Skype back then, and you're using a different app now that allows you to broadcast the talk that's being done to anybody who wants to listen to it, but particularly members who can't be here. That's got to be a good thing, hasn't it, brethren and sisters? And we see there, to communicate one with another is a commandment from the Lord, and it pleases the Lord when we do so. And we can see again, we've got in Hebrews 3 and verse 13, that we should exhort one another daily. So it's clear that staying in touch with our brethren and sisters, those of the same faith, is vitally important to us. And however we communicate, whether that's on the modern technology, I'll call that digitally, over the phone, face to face, the important element in those two passages we've looked at is the subject matter. Malachi said we should think upon his name. Hebrews tells us we should exhort one another daily. So we know back in Proverbs there's a time for everything. So there's nothing wrong with having a general conversation, nothing wrong with asking someone how their day's been, nothing wrong with having a laugh and a joke in the right manner as well. But it's not enough just to communicate on trivial things all the time. We should see from those verses that we should have regular contact around the truth. Exhorting, which means to lift up or help one another, should be part of that communication that we have on a regular or on a daily basis with each other. So, first of all, it is good to communicate. Nothing wrong in the format we choose to use to communicate. But our subject matter has to, in some element, revolve around the scriptures. But the Bible also gives us some good advice around certain types of messaging that shouldn't be done remotely. So I'll say either that's done online, even via a letter or via the phone. Some communication is good to be done face to face. Because the problem we have when we're not in front of the recipient or the person we're delivering that message to is that it can be misinterpreted. So I get a question for anybody here, especially the younger ones that use a lot of the new technology. Have you ever had an email or a text or a Facebook post? And when you've read it, you weren't too sure if that person was maybe being sarcastic, or were they angry, or were they making a joke when you read it? Because all you've got is the words that are either on the screen, or if it was via a letter, on the paper. It happens a lot, doesn't it? I know I've read it, and we think, well, are they being funny? Are they having a go at me? And you're not too sure. And that's because a lot of the communication that we use to get our message across is what's called non-verbal. It's not the actual words that are said that we would type out if we were doing that online or via an email. But sometimes it's the tone or the body language of the message that gets the message across. And there's some research being done on here on the slide we've got behind. A certain Dr. Albert Mehrabian, I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation, but it doesn't really matter. But what we see on there is that tiny little green slither is the amount of communication that is verbal, which is the actual words, okay, so it's the written word, I would suggest, the words that we actually say. 7% of any message is conveyed just by the words that I said. 38% is through the certain vocal elements. So if I'm excited, I might get a bit quicker the way I speak, and my voice might go up a little bit. If I'm sad, I typically slow down, and you get the general gist. So 38% is around the tone and those type of things that we speak, our vocal elements, the way the message is delivered. And 55%, which surprised me, but this is what the stats seem to imply, is to actually nothing to do with the message, but it's to do with facial expressions. So you know if I'm happy, if I'm smiling, if I've narrowed my visor, and I know I'm a little bit angry, so my kids recognise that view quite regularly. But it's the body language that we use when we're delivering a message. Again, a lot of it is conveyed in that way. So we can see that's even when we post something online, sometimes someone might put a little smiley face, haven't they, or emoticon at the end of a message, which gives you an indication of what they're trying to say, but it's sometimes too late. You've read the message and you're already thinking, they're having a go at me here, before you get to the little smiley face at the end or whatever emoticon you choose. So even if we're using that, a large chunk of our message will not be delivered properly, or it could be misinterpreted at least, if we only use something that's put onto paper or onto a screen or however we deliver that via a text message. And the Bible teaches us and has told us this for years, that sometimes it's far more effective and correct to deliver a message face to face. And we see that in the third epistle of John, so right at the end of our Bibles. We only have one chapter there, but it's on the screen anyway. The third epistle of John. And we see in verse 13 and 14 of that epistle that a message is given. And we see there, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee. Greet thy friends by name. And so we see there that the message was delivered, and it was said, I could write a lot more, but it would be far better that I deliver these messages when I see you face to face. So there are certain matters, sensitive matters or serious issues that need to be discussed, that it is far better to do it face to face. Not always, as they were doing at the time, by writing a letter and using a pen and a scroll to be delivered. Today we've progressed from there, gone through the written letter and the posted letter through to email and however else we communicate today. It's not always a good format to use when we have an issue, a personal or a sensitive issue to discuss with somebody. Because why? Because you can keep reading it over and over again. It either upsets you or annoys you more you read it. A lot of the time, if you meet face to face, you're far more apt to try and come to a solution because you're there together. You don't want to be confrontational, so you'll try and work a way through to have a solution. And we also see in Proverbs 25, that's on the screen as well. And it says, debate thy cause with thy neighbour himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. And what we see there in the Proverbs is it's telling us that if we have a problem with another person, I think it's very easy, isn't it, if we've got a problem with someone today, that we can sometimes post a mean comment on a social network. We can pop something up very quickly, or a snide comment about somebody. Or sometimes you don't even name people, do they? You just see they're having a bad day, and I could really kill him or her. And then you think, well, are they talking about me? I'm in their friends group. Have I done something that's offended them? And you've no idea. But we're told in the Proverbs that's not the way to deal with an issue. If you have a problem with somebody, it says don't make it public. Go and talk to them. By posting it up, all it leads to is more comments being put on there. Someone else will comment, well, yeah, they did that to me as well. Or everyone in our social circle will see that comment, and they'll either make opinions about you for posting that issue, or they'll make a judgment on the person that you're commenting about. It's very easy for it to escalate, to get out of hand. People get upset. The Bible teaches us, which is the only area we should really get information from, to talk to people, explain what's caused you some concern or what's annoyed you, and try and sort out your differences. Do not do that in public. And Jesus himself picks up on this same thing, and in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 5. Now, I've put this one because I've used the NIV because I think it just came across a little bit easier. But in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, it says, "If your brother or your sister sin, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over." So again, if you have a problem, if you feel someone's done something wrong, sometimes sending an email or putting a post or whatever it might be is not the way to deal with it. Go and speak to them. Take the Lord's advice. Go and speak to that person, just the two of you. It doesn't have to be made public. It's not something that should be gossiped about, which we may pick on if we've got time a little bit later. It's something that is private. Deal with it privately. And if they listen to you and they're convinced, again, normally by going to Scripture and showing where someone's gone wrong, we see there you have won them over. What we don't want is these type of comments on Facebook where, bang, somebody posts something up and we have a horrible comment put on which can spread very quickly. And then other people see it and that person feels very humiliated that everyone in their group knows that they have done something against you. And yet that seems to be the preferred choice of sharing a problem, by putting it onto either, you know, Facebook or posting, sending a tweet or whatever format you choose. Follow the Lord's example. If it is a sensitive matter you're dealing with, then I'd also suggest that you put some rules around it, especially if you're angry or you're emotional when you're trying to have that or send that message. I think all of us, if you have to deal with email in your job or for any reason, you're all prone to do some keyboard bashing at a time when you've had an angry email come at you and you start, "Oh, I've got no idea what they're talking about," and you start banging away at your keys. And I know I've done that several times. And I have a rule that I always leave my email. If I've ever sent an email like that, or I'm about to send an email like that, I leave it in my drafts folder for a little while. So I'll often go to lunch at work, come back, calm down, reread the email and think, "I must be an idiot if I send that." And we'll rechange it and I'll tone it down and then send a more appropriate email to my customer or my supplier or whoever I'm dealing with. Even more important if we're doing that with friends or brethren and sisters or people that we know in the meeting. Don't press the send button when you're angry or when you're emotional. Go back to it a little bit later, the next morning or whenever, reread it. And I think it's rare that you would send it in that format that you originally typed. And you'll often go back and you'll laugh about what you thought. Why were you so angry about that? And that's the downside and the area of digital communication that we have to be careful of, the instant nature. And you'll see this theme hopefully coming throughout the talk. Because once I hit send on my email, someone else gets a new mail notification or their phone pings or whatever it might be to say they've been mentioned in a post or a tweet. And that's it. They've read it. And if you have sent that angry email and you let your emotions or your anger get the better of you, the damage can be done very, very quickly. And even if you try and recall it or you delete your post, someone easily could have screen grabbed it or whatever they do to store that, or they've just got it, they've read it, so the damage has been done. The scripture also gives us a commandment that should override all our communication and everything that we do, and that's do all to the glory of God. That's our actions, our behaviour, our communication, whether it's a modern form of communication or the one that's been around forever, it doesn't matter. The instruction is the same. Do all to the glory of God. The challenge with things like social media is, again, this idea of instant notification that something's been posted. That if I read something and I can then share it immediately by clicking the share button or the like button to say, "Yeah, I like that," it pops up, doesn't it, on the side of the screen saying, "Liam Walton likes this." And if that's something that's inappropriate, very quickly, your friends, your followers, whoever it might be, will see that you've liked it or shared it, and they make a judgment about you. Our profiles and our timelines say a lot about us, don't they? What does yours say about you, and what does mine say about me? Does it glorify God, or does it shame us? I was talking to Sim earlier, who's down for the day, and he said, "You can screen grab somebody's Facebook profile or timeline and put it on the big screen." And I went back this afternoon and I was very tempted to do it. But then I thought, well, I'll have to put mine on there as well. So they're all public so they can find it. But it's a great test, isn't it? If I now said, "Well, let's log on and I'll ask someone who's got a Facebook profile, can I put yours on the screen?" How many people would put their hands up? And so if we have a concern about something like that, there's something on there that we're not too au fait about sharing with a meeting or an ecclesia or somebody like that. So does it glorify God when we post it, or does it shame us? Well, let's take another thing and carry on this thought. Colossians chapter 4, and this is one, if you only remember one verse from tonight, then this is one that I'd love for you to take with us, because it's really important. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, because this goes through us all our life, I would suggest. And we read there in Colossians 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So it tells us our speech or our communication, we'll extend it to that, should be seasoned with salt. And if we season something with salt traditionally, it makes it a little bit more tasty, a bit more nourishing. And the idea being that when we speak, when we communicate, it should be befitting of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is our communication befitting of a follower of Christ? Do we season our communication with salt? Do we take the time to think about what we are going to do or what we are about to say? And again, I've followed on that in Ephesians chapter 5. Again, this is from the NIV. Again, I just think it came across the translation a little bit easier for maybe some of the younger ones tonight. But it says, "But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity, of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of all these you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." And so it's very straightforward English there, that the Bible is telling us in Ephesians things that our communication should not contain. So do we ever repost, do we ever like that joke that's a little bit close to the edge, or probably we shouldn't like, or an image that's gone out, and is it on our timeline? Or the danger sometimes of Facebook is people can post comments on things that we've done, and then are we brave enough to hit the delete button or say, you know, I'd rather you don't use that type of phrase or language on my comments, on my timeline. And so there's a danger, isn't there, that people can come in and they start to post things. So very clearly on there, it tells us what our communication should not contain. So it's very practical, and only we can answer for ourselves if our communication, whether it's via our mouth from one to another, whether it's publicly on a social media site or a text message we send to someone or forward on, whatever it may be, we have some rules that the Bible gives us of things our message, our communication should not include. But that's a bit negative. Important that we understand it. So what should our communication include? Well, put a few verses up here. Isaiah tells us, and it's referring to Christ, but it says, "He was given the tongue of the learned, that he should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." Okay, so it's very important we see here that the idea of our communication, helping someone else, to help him that is weary. I'll read the other two as well, that were Proverbs 12, verse 25. "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." And if we went into Proverbs 15 and verse 23, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." So there's three real positive and practical verses there on what our communication should be about and how it can help other people. Remember we looked earlier, one of the first verses we looked at that said, remember to exhort daily. Exhort is to help or lift somebody up that might be struggling. And sometimes that's us. We need to be lifted back up. But we see, especially in Proverbs there, that when someone is heavy in heart, when they're a little bit down in the dumps, a good word or a nice email or a nice text, whatever it might be, can really make that person feel 10 times better. When someone's struggling, that phone call, some words of encouragement can lift them up. It can make them glad. And for me, this is where modern technology can help on a completely different level than the opportunities people had before, because a private message to someone can make their day. A phone call, a text, just to say, how are you okay? We can do that instantly within a few seconds of our time, and the message can come across. And also, sometimes when we're looking at what other people are maybe posting, we can get the feeling that, you know what, that's not normal for them. They seem a little bit down, or their message is a little, they sound a bit upset or a bit down in the dumps. And maybe we can then respond or send a link through to them that might be able to help them. So I think that's somewhere where modern technology is a fantastic tool that we should be looking to see how we can help our friends, our brethren and sisters who may be struggling a little bit. But everything we do, we need to make sure it's done to the glory of God, and our communication is seasoned with salt. And those are the two real points I hope that we can take with us this evening. You see, social media can be very much a case of, look at me. Look how great I'm doing. Look where I'm at today. And that's not helping people that are struggling, is it? So there's nothing wrong at all with posting a picture of us out and about. There's nothing wrong in saying that we are having a good day every so often. But when we're constantly going on and on about how great we are and where we're at and we're here and we're there, and that can impact other people. And we have to be aware of that and look at what we're doing. Is our communication seasoned with salt and being helpful to other people when we're constantly boasting about what we are doing? We have to be very careful. That's not the case. So again, how can we help our brethren and sisters? We've spoke about a few of the examples. Could we use a modern technology to do the readings with someone that's on their own by just firing up our phone or our laptop or whatever to communicate with them and make life a bit easier? We are all judged by our communication. Let it be seasoned with salt. Let it be nourishing or useful for our brethren and our sisters. So, do we represent God with our communication? We touched on this a little bit, didn't we, earlier? But there's a passage in Corinthians, and again, this isn't in our Bible either, but I ended up doing a study at another meeting about what it means to be an ambassador or a representative of God. When we get baptized, our responsibilities change. And we see that in 2 Corinthians. And it says, and again, I've used it in the NIV because there was a few words that some of the young ones might struggle with, but it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, so they're being baptized, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry, or the work, of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we see there, I think that last verse, the reason I've highlighted verse 20, is a big, big responsibility for each and every one of us. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through you and me. So our communication needs to be appropriate to be an ambassador or representative of God. Do we convey God's message in our actions, the way we live our life, his appeal to other people to be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we use our communication for doing that? Could that be said that that's the way that we live our life, and that's the things that we say and the things that we post on our social media sites, or our profile or our extension of our life that we put online? Again, only we can answer as individuals, but it's a big, big warning to us that once we are baptized, we have a different set of responsibilities than the average man on the street. So it's very important. And the Bible has constantly shown that its principles never change. It's just as relevant today, if not more so, because we can put things publicly that are there forever and ever and ever, as when it was written. So again, a big warning for us. And I think for the younger members, is this idea of using your time wisely. For all the great advantages of having a connection to the internet and having that available on our phone, on our iPad, whatever it might be, it can also be a big distraction of our time. And we have to be very careful that we don't waste our time. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says to us, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise." So we have to be wise with our time. It says, redeeming the time, or using it wisely, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand in what the will of the Lord is. So we see there very, very clearly, do not waste your time. Proverbs 14, going back into the Old Testament. In all labour, all work, there is profit. But the talk of the lips leadeth only to penury, and that means poverty. So again, very clear from Proverbs that if you're working hard in the truth and working hard to try and please the Lord, then it says you'll profit. You'll be successful with God. He'll look after you. But, and this is the important bit with our idea of communication, the talk of the lips or the tweeting or the Facebook post, whatever it might be that we're communicating, well, that only leads to poverty. So I nearly titled this slide, but I didn't, was Walk the Walk, Don't Talk the Talk. And I think that's very appropriate, that we can be very good at saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, I'm at this youth weekend or I'm at this meeting, but I'm not listening. I might post it there. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? We either, our actions are far more important than what we say we are doing. So it's very important. In all labour or work there is profit, but the talk of the lips leads to poverty, spiritual poverty. I was once told, it wasn't for a Christadelphian, it was at some course I was on, but I was asked to imagine that if I had a bank account and that every night or every morning when I woke up, £1,440 had been deposited in it. And the only rule was that throughout the day I could spend it, but that evening when I went to bed it would be removed and then another £1,440 put in tomorrow. What would you do with that £1,440 each day? And everyone who was in my little group who was on this course, we all agreed, well, the thing you'd do is you'd take it all out and you'd use it, because you're going to get another £1,440 tomorrow, and we'd take it out and use it again, because you can't build it up, because it disappears. And that was the right answer. But the meaning of the message is this, that we get 1,440 minutes every single day in 24 hours. You can't take them with you. You can only use what you've got today. So would you maximise what you're doing with your time? Would you use it as wisely as you could? Because you're not going to be able to take it with you when you die. You only get today or however long the Lord gives us. So make the most of the time that God has given to us in a wise way. Don't be that fool in Proverbs that wastes your time on mundane things, spending hours and hours just browsing away. While I was doing my talk, I've normally got an online Bible that I use. And even when I'm doing my talk and working away on the scriptures, sometimes I just, oh, something pops up on my email. And before I know it, I've been sidelined and 25 minutes have gone. I've done nothing to do with my talk because I've ended up looking at a link that someone sent me on my email or doing something for work, because we are so easily distracted. And by having the internet connected all the time, we can be distracted at the drop of a hat. And the Bible tells us, use your time wisely. And 1 Peter 4, verse 7 tells us, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So our time is limited and it's running out all the time. The Lord could be back at any moment in time. How many apps or games do we have on our phones or our mobile devices that can absolutely waste away the day? I know I'm guilty of it as much as anybody else. They're so easy to pick up and start playing. Before you know it, 2 hours have gone. And sometimes they're linked to your Facebook account, aren't they? So you said, oh, I see so-and-so's got a new sheep or something in his farm, and something else pops up, he's got a new farmhouse. You think, he's just spent 5 hours doing that. Okay? It's so easy for these things to do. And then we publicly give that information out. And again, is it a good and proper use of our time? There are so many good things we can do with the technology. We can share information. We can collaborate or work on a document around the truth or a study that we're doing with somebody. Wherever we're based because of these tools, and yet sometimes we choose to use them in a more frivolous way. How many updates should we do? With all these new channels of communication, is the regularity of our updates and how much we make a noise online. The same problem has been around forever, by the way. With this communication tool, our mouths. People love to talk and say how good they are and what they're doing. But again, with having multiple platforms, it can be magnified, platforms to shout from. Do we feel the need to be posting continually or speaking continually? Because the Bible gives us some good advice if that's the case. And I've got them on the screen. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. So just because you say a lot doesn't make you wise or doesn't make you less of a sinner. It actually says the prudent man, the wise man, holds his tongue and thinks before he speaks. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. Keeping your mouth guarded guard your communication. Consider what you say. And the reason I picked that one is this idea of a man who speaks rashly, and it follows up in, we'll deal with Proverbs 29 as well. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. This idea of being hasty when we're online, we can post something very quickly, bang, send, and it's gone. We have to think before we post, because we see that the Bible tells us if you're hasty, if you speak rashly, God considers us a fool. So we need to learn to take time before we communicate in any which way. That we know, don't we, that our tongue can cause many problems. But by posting it or sending it in an email, it is there forever and ever and ever. Very, very important. But also, I think the last one we have on there, Proverbs 29 and verse 20, the Bible is very clear that we should not have a high opinion of ourselves. That's what the foolish man does by having lots of words, multiplying his words, speaking all the time. Normally means that person's got a very high opinion of themselves. Telling everybody about everything. Be considered with your communication. Spend your time on gaining the knowledge of the scriptures. That will then guide you on when to speak and when to shut up. These are great practical verses, I think, full of advice, good for all of us in lots of areas of our life. But the message that comes across time and time again is think before you communicate. And that means taking time to consider. With technology today, we're almost encouraged to have an instant response. You know, somebody posts something and you check it. How many likes have I got? How many likes have I got? How many comments have I got? And we're always checking instant, instant, instant. The Bible tells us to take our time before we communicate. I think that last one we said there is being hasty in our words sums up the downside of modern communication. Have you ever posted something online or sent an email and you try to delete it a few minutes later? I wish I hadn't done that. And you go back and you delete it. But by then, as we've said, people potentially will have seen it. Think before you communicate, because if no one else does see it and you think got away with it, the Lord Jesus Christ sees everything. We won't turn to the book of James because we're running out of time, but we know the power of the tongue and how dangerous and hurtful our words can be. So we need to be very careful. So there's two short points I would like to deal with before concluding. It won't take very long. And the first one is, I've got to be honest, I don't see much of this in the Christadelphian circles that I mix in and see online. But we should deal with it. And it's the idea of egos or self-importance in our communication. And I've put on there friends, followers and fakes. And it's this idea where we see that people get very either boastful or they love the fact they've got lots of people following them. Makes them feel very, very important. And I just want to go to the reading that we had, Matthew 23, as our introduction, please. Because we see here a group of men who love to be popular. And they love to know what everyone, or they loved everyone to know what they were doing. And we see in Matthew 23, we'll just pick a few verses. It's Jesus speaking about the scribes and Pharisees. And we see there in verse 3, all there whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and they do not. Okay, so they're warned first of all that they're very good at talking, but they're not so good at their actions. And then we see down in verse 5, but all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi, or master, master, or teacher, teacher. They loved all that. They loved to be seen and they loved everyone to know what they were doing. You know what? The scribes and media would have loved social media. The scribes and Pharisees, sorry, would have loved social media. You can imagine it, can't you? Checked in at the temple. Here's a new photo of my enlarged borders on my garments. Wherever they wore, they would have been letting everybody know what they were doing. And I'm sure we've all known people like that online. It sounds ridiculous when we say it like that, but that's what we do when we try and boast about the things that we're doing. That's what people can be like on social media today. Desperate for more friends, more followers, or whether it's Twitter, Instagram, whatever you're on. People love it, don't they? Constantly checking to see how many people have liked what they've said. The reason I've got the little picture on the bottom was this concept that's come, and I know I've done it, is this idea of a selfie. How self-important do you have to be to have a selfie when you think about it? And I've posted them, so they're on there. And I was putting this picture together. This was an image that was taken at the Oscars of lots of famous actors and actresses. And I think it's at the time it was, 2.5 million people had retweeted that picture. And it was a big deal, made the news that so many people had shared this bit of information. It's just a bunch of people smiling at a camera. And yet people kept sharing it and sharing it, and these people feel more and more important. We should not be like that. Don't be fake. Jesus says about the scribes and Pharisees, they say and they do not. They're hypocrites. There are plenty of warnings for us in those few verses. If you get a chance, read those again, those first 13 verses of Matthew. They're really important. Don't be fake. Don't be a hypocrite. Showing off online is very common in today's world, isn't it? People feeling important because they have millions of followers, and so they suddenly think their opinion should be listened to. That shouldn't be you or I. There's nothing wrong, as we said, in posting sensibly, but we've got to be very careful we don't become egotistical and big-headed with the things that we're posting. Matthew 23 and verse 12 is what we should be like. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Be a humble person in whatever you do in life. Not just your communication, but the way that you act. Be humble. It's better to have 10 real friends than 2,000 Facebook friends or Twitter or Instagram followers or whatever else the latest media platform is. We need to make sure we don't use social media to look at me. Proverbs 18 verse 2, don't turn to it, but it says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinion. Next time you post on Facebook, think about that. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but he delights in airing his own opinions. And so we see the importance. Sorry, excuse me. Hello? No, sorry, not tonight. I can't play football tonight, no. Okay, I'm really sorry, I'm doing the middle of a Bible talk. Bye-bye. I'm sorry about that, brothers and sisters, that was very embarrassing. But when I looked at your faces when I take that call, which was a fake call, by the way, it was one of shock and horror. And so it should be. But that's what I want to finish on for the last two or three minutes tonight, is this idea of social etiquette and the way these devices and these technologies can impact our life, where it's completely changed the way we act with everybody else, in our families, in our ecclesias, even the people we work with, that we've completely changed. Some rules we should use when we communicate, and with the devices that we have today, they have to be applied. And they're taught throughout the scriptures. You know, how many times when we're with people do we pull out our phone just to take a call, as I pretended to do there? How many times do we check an application or social media when we're out with people or having a meal, or when your family's around a table, you've all got your own phones or your own devices, and your own set of interests are stored on these, your own applications that you use to get information about a particular thing that you're interested in, and so you're all in your own little world rather than talking, or as we saw earlier, exhorting one another, communicating around the Lord daily. There are times when we need to turn them off. As a family, when we eat, do we do that? Do we come to meetings and we still have our devices turned on? There's one example, and there's nothing wrong. I know a lot of people use these for, have their Bibles and stored on there. And I was sat next to someone at a Bible class. I won't name the person. And he was sat next to me and he was using his phone for following the class. He got his Bible on there. You think, no problem with that. But what he hadn't done was put it into flight mode. So when his local football team scored a goal, it popped up on his phone that said goal alert. Okay, and that's the dangers that by not doing that, and I don't say that trivially, because it distracted me as well, because I'm sitting next to him, and he hadn't put it into flight mode. If you're using a device, fine, but put it into flight mode so no one can text you, no one can phone you, nothing from the outside world comes in and distracts you from what you should be doing, which is concentrating on the talk that is being done at that time. It would be good, I think, as a colleague of mine on a Sunday evening has his whole family and he calls it an unplugged evening and nobody's allowed to have a device. And he's someone I work with that's gadget mad. But he said it was just ruining his family because every time they got together, they never even looked or spoke at each other. They just all had their own devices. When you're communicating in any format, think, would I send this if everyone I know could read it or receive it? Because things can happen. Emails have been sent back with a reply to all rather than just the one person that you intended to send to. So you've sent something that goes around to a lot of other people. Viruses that maybe can pick an email and send it out to a whole group of people in your address book. Would you be prepared for that if every email that you'd sent went out to everybody else? Again, not a bad rule to have. Would I send this if everyone could read it? An application I know is popular with a lot of the youngsters, Snapchat. It's built on the concept it's going to delete what you've sent after 10 seconds or less. On a serious note, you have to ask what you would be sending that you don't want anyone else to see after 10 seconds. And of course, as soon as that app comes out, another app comes out, SnapSave, that allows you to grab it anyway. So there'll always be a way that technology works its way to almost catch you out. But whether it's seen by anybody else or not, the Lord sees all. We need to remember that. So to conclude, don't type or post anything that you wouldn't say to someone face to face. That's an important rule, because if you wouldn't want that person to hear or to see it, then don't send it, because it's not a communication seasoned with salt. I hope the talk has been of interest. I hope there's been a practical side that everyone who uses modern communication maybe be able to do something a little bit better. I have to say, I know, I don't want to embarrass her, but Sister Faith has been posting the daily readings on Facebook every day of the last few days, which has been fantastic just to see those popped up compared to a lot of the other stuff that goes on there. So there's a lot of good things we can use. I don't want this to be a bash of platforms out there. It's how you and I use them and portray ourselves on them that is the danger. Let's use the principles that the Lord left in the scriptures, whether we use our mouth, whether we use digital communication or not, and do all to his glory. Thank you very much for your time.